What is next with federal emergency aid to smaller businesses running out? I'm David Brancaccio. There is news that 5.25 million people filed for state unemployment benefits in the last week, indicating that 22 million people have been laid off during the last 4 weeks. Gus Fauché is chief economist at PNC Financial Services Group.
That is an indication that the labor market is imploding and that we're just seeing job losses on a scale that are unprecedented in U.S. history.
Does it suggest to you that Washington might be able to formulate more aid for people in this situation?
I think we're going to need it. We do have extended and expanded unemployment insurance benefits for those people who've lost their jobs. But I think the key thing is to reduce the number of layoffs in the first place. So we have seen the Paycheck Protection Program. And I think that some of those 22 million people will eventually end up being rehired because of the PPP. But certainly we need to do all that we can to make sure that small businesses don't have to close just because of the coronavirus, that they can stay open, limp along until conditions get better, and that way we avoid layoffs in the first place.
I mean, are you seeing much reopening of the U.S. economy before there's more widespread virus testing?
No. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult if we don't know who has the virus, if it's safe to go back to work. But I do think that the level of activity was pretty good heading into this. And I'm hopeful that with the right policy moves, we could see a fairly strong rebound later this year once we get the testing issues and the public health issues sorted out.
Economist Gus Fauché at PNC Financial. And here's the thing about that payroll protection program, the loans for smaller businesses that often don't have to be paid back. That program's run through its money already. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins me now with details. Amy, first, where did the money flow?
The SBA said earlier this week that so far businesses in the construction, professional and technical services and manufacturing industries had received the biggest share of the money, more than $30 billion each, which has led to some concerns that, you know, some of the hardest hit businesses like restaurants and hotels aren't getting enough help. There have also been geographic differences. Texas and California have seen the most money, which makes sense. They're the two biggest states by population. But New York, which has really been devastated by this virus, came in fourth behind Illinois. Most of the loans have been $150,000 or less, but as we've seen, that goes really fast. The SBA says it's processed more than 14 years worth of loans in less than 14 days.
Wow. What is Congress going to do now that this pot has essentially been depleted?
Yeah, there is bipartisan agreement that there should be more money. Republicans want another $250 billion for the program. Democrats, though, want more strings attached, like help for women and minority-owned businesses that may not have the kinds of relationships with banks that have helped other companies get approved quickly. There's also the problem of actually passing anything with Congress, like so many of us working from home right now and not planning to come back to Washington until next month.
Amy, thank you. People in Michigan are living under a stay-at-home order, and buses in Detroit are now free, but transit employees are worried, with at least one bus driver confirmed dead from COVID-19. 136 drivers are in quarantine. WDET's Eli Newman reports.
It's the last stop for Roderick Nash. It's been a slow Sunday, but the bus driver is still working.
Unfortunately, I have a job. You know, it's in the service industry, and I must serve the citizens of Detroit.
There's a small crew wiping down the insides of the buses coming through the Rosa Parks Transit Center. Nash is wearing an N95 respirator mask. He says coronavirus has put his job on the front lines.
This is death walking around out here, and nobody's taking it serious, and I think that is unfortunate.
Other bus drivers say they felt the city was not doing enough to protect them from the disease. One morning in mid-March, many employees called in sick and forced the whole city transit system to shut down. Detroit increased its cleaning to resolve the one-day strike. And buses are now free to ride during the outbreak, so passengers won't come close to drivers at the fare box. The city expects to lose $450,000 a week as a result. Glenn Tolbert is the president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 26.
We need to be safe not to take it home to our families, not to give it to the public. So we needed the buses clean.
Tolbert later tested positive for COVID-19 himself. The city has also reduced the frequency of pickups and is giving masks out to passengers. The Detroit Department of Transportation estimates ridership is down more than 60% from the usual 85,000 riders a day. A casino is letting bus drivers and other essential city workers sleep in its hotel for free so they can prevent spreading the disease to their families at home. But for one bus driver, some of these changes came too late.
Hey, look, listen, man, let me say something.
Jason Hargrove posted a video on Facebook about a woman he said was openly coughing on the bus he was driving.
I feel violated. I feel violated for the folks that was on the bus when this happened.
Hargrove died from COVID-19 2 weeks later. In Detroit, I'm Eli Newman for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, in New York City, more than 50 workers from the Metropolitan Transit Authority have died from the virus. And Facebook said today it's going to alert people who post dangerous coronavirus material that bogus stuff they're spreading could hurt them and others and link them to accurate information. In January, the social media giant started taking down posts about things that, for instance, won't help with the virus and would poison you if you tried, or the false notion that social distancing doesn't help. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.